Happy New Year. All right. The mic is definitely plugged in. Don't you worry. It's loose, though. Feels like it could fall off at any second, which, you know, is pretty par for the course. Some things will definitely not change in the new year. I hope you had a great weekend. I hope that you enjoyed ringing in 2023. The NFL certainly did, and that playoff picture is taking shape. Not to mention college football. We're down to the final two for the national championship, which will take place a week from Monday. So we got a lot to get to. In other words, thank you for all of your kind words about the new year and about the show. And if you missed it late last week, I know a lot of people were out of their regular routines. And so if you're just tuning in, trying to get back into that rhythm and that groove, well, just trust me. I tried to do it last week. The first night didn't go so well. Some guy sent me a tweet about how my brain just wasn't in it. He could tell that my brain was fuzzy. Nah, the brain is being fuzzy is never the problem. Anyway, some of you may have fuzzy brain or may receive tweets to that effect. It's a little difficult to get back into your routine. And so there are still a lot of people who are on vacation because Monday is kind of the federal holiday to celebrate the first of the year. But for those of you who have to try to settle back in, deep breath, beginning 2023, I know how you feel. If you missed it late last week, we have now marked 10 years as a network. And there are a handful of us who were here at the very beginning. So it was a lot of fun. Not only did we take a ton of phone calls on Thursday night into Friday morning, and many of you reflecting on how you discovered the network and how long you've been listening and why the show specifically matters to you, which meant a lot to me. But also, I saw so many of your tweets and your Facebook messages about the new year and about 10 years. So thank you. Thank you for all of your support and your kindness, especially over this last year, which was a tough one for me. A lot of disappointment, a lot of loss, a lot of grief. I'm not sorry to see it go in any way. I know that turning the calendar to January doesn't automatically mean that none of that happens in the new year or that disappointment and that loss doesn't carry over. But it does make me feel a little bit differently. Time for a fresh start, time to look ahead. I'm hopeful for health and happy, but also hopeful for blessings and breakthroughs in 2023. And I will be praying to that effect and believing to see what happens in these next 12 months. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So we've got a lot to get to, but we want to start with the playoff picture, of course, because that is the main thing. We keep the main thing, the plain thing, and we now have more tickets that have been punched to the NFL postseason. Congratulations to the New York Giants back in the playoffs for the first time since 2016 and the infamous boat tour. I saw people tweeting to the effect. Anybody else see that? Now, Odell Beckham Jr. and that cast and crew of receivers is no longer with the team. And so I get the jokes because the last time the Giants were in the playoffs, their receiving corps didn't show up. And whether or not it was related to a trip to Miami on their off day will forever be a spicy debate. But that was the last time the Giants were in the playoffs, and it did not go well. It didn't last long. It was a quick blip, and then it was done. And who knew they'd have to wait another six seasons before they would get back there. So the Giants make quick work of the Colts on Sunday. And what we found out this week is that, according to reports, according to insiders, the Giants will, in fact, keep Daniel Jones. And they do plan to keep Saquon Barkley in the fold. And so at the end of that week, boom, little playoffs. And so the Giants become the third team from the NFC East to make the playoffs. Though there will not be four because the Commanders were officially eliminated on Sunday with their loss to the Cleveland Browns. But good for you, Giants, with a chance actually at double-figure wins despite the fact that they have a tie on their record. That's what I think about the tie on their record. So now you've got three teams from the NFC East, two of them being wild cards, which means there's only one wild card still available in the NFC. We know it's not coming out of the South, but we do have a champion in the South. It wasn't pretty. In fact, at times it was downright ugly. But the Buccaneers, for the first time in franchise history, win back-to-back NFC South titles. I was not expecting to see that as a nerd alert from week 17. But yes, 8-8 now. They've won back-to-back games and back-to-back division crowns, which means no matter what you think of the Bucs, they will be hosting a playoff game in 2 weeks. Tom Brady nearly without a voice at the end of this game, but he can still throw the football. And Mike Evans, yep, he's still one of the best receivers in the NFL. Going all the way back to 2014 when he was drafted out of Texas A&M, it took Brady joining the Bucs for the attention of the spotlight. And of course, the playoff stage. And so I'm really happy for Mike Evans. He is a dynamic receiver. And I'm glad that he and Tom Brady had this connection for 3 years. Who knows if it continues beyond this season, but the Bucs are going to the playoffs for a third straight season. Remember last year, they lost to the Rams on their own field, divisional weekend, on what was a last-second field goal by Matt Gay. Was Matt Gay their kicker last year? Uh-huh. So, that was last year. Who even has room in her brain for last year? So the Buccaneers also clinch a playoff spot. All four of the, well, actually, we can't even say that. The Eagles and Cowboys haven't settled who will be the NFC East division winner yet. Because the Eagles, without Jalen Hurts, well, they're a different team. And so Eagles and Cowboys, one of those teams will end up as the NFC East winner. The other will fade to the 5 seed in the NFC. We know the Vikings, the Buccaneers, the Niners, they're all division winners. Believe it or not, the Green Bay Packers have won 4 in a row and are now in control of their own playoff path. Of course they are. Of course they are. This is what they do. So the Packers, who will not have a fourth consecutive season of at least 13 wins, we've been hearing from Aaron Rodgers for weeks now. Almost at times, nonchalant, a little bit too laid back for me. Everything we want is still out there. We can put a run together. And you'll hear him talk about his thoughts going back to the point at which they were 4-8. This team was 4-8, but with a win in the regular season finale against Detroit, the Packers are into the playoffs and would have the final NFC wild card. Now, if the Packers lose to Detroit, well, that's where Seattle can take advantage because the Seahawks are also 8-8. They defeat the Jets. In fact, they eliminate the Jets on Sunday. And then there's the Lions. So the progression is this: Packers, Seahawks, Lions. The Lions need multiple dominoes to drop, whereas the Packers just need to beat Detroit, and they're in. I've talked about this a few times during the year, only because it really does illustrate the fact that the NFL is constantly experiencing turnover when it comes to its playoff picture. Only 4 teams have reached the playoffs in each of the last 3 years. That's how far back this goes. 3 years. Only 4 teams out of 32 have made the postseason each of the last 3 years. We know the Chiefs and the Bills are back in. So they will have the longest playoff stretch at 4 years each. Packers can join them by winning in week 17. And so you would have Chiefs, Packers, Bills as the most consistent teams in terms of playoffs the last 3 years. Well, it would be 4 years now. The other team was the Titans, is the Titans. The Titans could still get into the playoffs as well. Though, man, they're a disaster right now. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are feeling themselves. They haven't clinched a playoff spot yet, but with a victory over Tennessee next Sunday, next weekend, I guess there are Saturday games too. I haven't even checked the schedule yet. The Jaguars would be the AFC South champs. Otherwise, the Titans win that division again. Though, remember, last year they were the top seed in the AFC. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Now turning our attention to the AFC. Again, just to recap, Packers in control of their own fate. Seahawks would be next in line if the Packers stumble. And if the Seahawks win in week 17 or 18. And then Detroit. If a couple of different things break their way, which has certainly happened. Remember last year how the Steelers got into the playoffs? They needed a bunch of different dominoes to drop, and they did. In the AFC, it's the Patriots who are in charge of their own playoff path. They take care of business against the Dolphins on Sunday, and now they've got the tie break over Miami. So it's Patriots win in week 18, and they're in. Now their opponent happens to be the Bills. If the Bills have the top seed in the AFC, which they could by Monday night, if they do, you wonder how they'll play it. Because I can't imagine that Sean McDermott wants his guys to have 2 weeks where they're not playing meaningful football or 2 weeks where the starters aren't on the field. It's a slippery slope, this resting and load management versus keeping your rhythm. So we'll see what happens with the Bills and the Bengals. That, by the way, is overwhelmingly your choice for After Hours Game of the Week. Bills, Bengals on Monday night, which is how we'll wrap week 17. So the Bills have the Patriots next week. If the Pats win that game, they've got the AFC wild card. They've got the last AFC wild card. Right, so they would be the seventh team to get in. We still do not have a division winner in the North. Bengals can take care of business with a victory on Monday night. They would extend their win streak to 8 in a row, and they would then clinch the AFC North title with the Ravens losing just a few hours ago to the Steelers. We'll get to that. Pittsburgh is still alive, though similar to the Detroit Lions. The Steelers need multiple dominoes to drop their way. So you've got three teams still alive for the AFC's final wild card and two teams still alive for the South Division title. And in the NFC, three teams still alive for the one wild card. It may seem convoluted, it's actually not, because you've got two teams win and they're in. So I haven't seen the schedule for next week. Sometimes the NFL tweaks the schedule, flexes teams. Maybe this is when the Lions and the Green Bay Packers get flexed.
Who says we can't get flexed?
Maybe Dan Campbell finally gets his wish and it's week 18 when the Lions and Packers get flexed. I don't know. Would the NFL do that to us? Would the NFL make us wait until Sunday Night Football to find out if the Packers get in or if it's the Seahawks or if it's the Lions? Let me see what they've got on the schedule right now. And sometimes, like I say, they flex it. And this may end up not being the case, but I'm going to look and see what they've got right now in week 18. I didn't see that anything had been moved yet.
So from what I see all the games right now are TBD. Or most of them. There's
Sundays, not Saturdays.
Games, right. Sundays,
yeah.
Games.
Right. So there's a doubleheader on Saturday that warms you up for a wild card weekend. And then everything else is still up in the air. I won't do this right now, but looking at the schedule, it seems to me the majority of these games still have some type of impact on either playoff spots or seeds. Good to the last drop. That's how the NFL likes it. And of course, this is how we always celebrate the new year. Now, coming up in 45 minutes, we're going to have to head to Sin City, Vegas. Some kind of a tumultuous week where Derek Carr gets benched because the Raiders intend to move on. But why? Why do they intend to move on? That's the question I will ask our Raiders insider. In the wake of the Raiders officially getting eliminated from playoff contention with an overtime loss at home to the Niners, we can now talk about the future. But it does not include Derek Carr. How long will it include Josh McDaniels if he doesn't turn this ship around? Ship, I said. So that's coming up in 45 minutes. We are just getting warmed up. Me. I know. There's a bunch of you who are still out of your regular routines. The holidays, they're not officially over for you. You're clinging to the very last bit, the final few hours of your holiday run. Not me, baby. I'm back. I'm ready to talk football. And of course, we will get to college football as well because, well, if you were looking for defense in the national semifinals, I fear that your New Year's Eve was ruined. It's kind of crazy that Ohio State was missing a field goal at the exact moment that January 1st dawned in Atlanta, Eastern Time, which is where the game was taking place. The Peach Bowl. I do like peaches. So we've got college football. We've got a ton of NFL to get to. We've got a trip to Vegas. I've never been to Vegas. In 45 minutes. This is exactly how we want to start the new year. So happy new year to you. Thank you again for all of your kind messages, your kind words. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Here's to the start of the next 10 years. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Isaiah Likely.
This man
to Marcus Robinson to the left. Huntley wants a throw. Fires to the goal line. Caught! Touchdown! Isaiah Likely. His third touchdown of the season. The Ravens' first touchdown of the night. And for the first time tonight, with 7 seconds left in the opening half, the Ravens have their first lead of the game.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
You just knew it was going to be a slugfest between the Ravens and the Steelers. And without Lamar Jackson, still offense tough to come by for those Baltimore Ravens. However, they do get a 7-yard touchdown pass from Tyler Huntley to Isaiah Likely, who's had a surge here in the final month of the regular season. Jerry Sandusky on Ravens radio. One of the things that should have jumped out at you if you were watching this game unfold on Sunday Night Football is that the Steelers left multiple scoring opportunities out there where they settle for field goals or missed field goals. As they get into the red zone, they need to be able to get that ball across the goal line. Now, obviously, the Ravens are very stingy, especially when it comes to protecting their home field. Actually, I drove right by M&T Bank Stadium on Tuesday of last week when I was coming up 95, the 95 corridor from D.C., or right through Baltimore and on up toward New York City. Sometimes the stadium's lit up in purple. It wasn't on Tuesday, but it's always cool to see it. And then Camden Yards there as well. And so the Steelers, they were getting field goals, but and at least in the first half and on into the third quarter, they were unable to get into the end zone. So they were trailing 10-3 at the break, and then they trade field goals again to start the third quarter. So there are a lot of positives. You can say, hey, great, we're getting ourselves in a position. But when you go 13 plays over 6 minutes in a drive that marches 80 yards and you only come up with 3 points, well, it kind of feels like you didn't do the job that you needed to do. And going into the fourth quarter, they were still trailing by 4, meaning they had to have a touchdown at some point because another field goal wasn't going to do the trick. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I forget sometimes that Kenny Pickett is a rookie. Still by definition, though, what has Mike Tomlin said to us? He's seeing Pickett grow with the reps, with the actual snaps on the field against a defense that hates him, specifically on Sunday night against the Ravens. He's learning on the job, and there's no better way for a quarterback to be able to get comfortable and to learn how to navigate an NFL game, an NFL drive, an NFL defense, than to be out there doing it. Now, it's not always a luxury that you can give your rookie quarterback that opportunity. In the case of the Steelers, they've got a bunch of veterans that surround Pickett. They've got a defense that has been playing well enough to keep them in games. And while there are times when the offense has been sparse, and even in this game in Baltimore, settling for field goals over and over again, there's a lot of growth still. And yet, I love what I see from Kenny Pickett. He doesn't feel like a rookie to me anymore. And when he and the Steelers got the ball back, trailing by 4, inside of 5 minutes to go, right away, he was making big throws.
Steelers send a tight end to the far sideline. Go with that extra wide out.
Is this not reminiscent of a week ago, Billy?
I hope it ends up the same way.
Me too.
First and 10, Pickett at his own 30, shotgun snap, 5-man rush, peels back out of the left, throws it on the run, and Freiermuth with a diving catch at midfield, a 20-yard gain. Pat Freiermuth coming back in front of Brandon Stevens.
Oh, it's on. When Kenny Pickett goes up the middle to Pat Freiermuth, his tight end, and they get to midfield on that 20-yard strike, 2.5 minutes to go in the game, you can feel it. You can feel it building. Now, keep in mind, the Ravens have not given a touchdown up to their opponents. That sounded awkward. The Ravens have not allowed a touchdown to their opponents at home since before Halloween. That's how stingy they are. So you've got two knockdown, drag-out rivals with a very slim margin for error. And into that comes the rookie quarterback, Kenny Pickett, with this big strike down the middle of the field. He also has a short pass that goes to Steven Sims, and he then takes it 28 yards. That's just outside the 2-minute warning. And so two big pass plays to get the Steelers within striking distance. And again, I love his poise. I love the fact that he's using all of his weapons, that he's spreading the ball around. Though ultimately, the second half of the season has been a lot more about Najee.
Pickett in the gun. Empties the set. 3rd and 8 at the 10. Gets the snap. He looks. Chased out of the pocket. Steps out of a tackle. Throws it for the goal line. Touchdown, Najee Harris. Najee from 10 yards out. And Pickett did a Houdini to make that play possible. And the Steelers jump ahead of Baltimore.
Not only did the Steelers get a touchdown on the Ravens' own field, which, as I say, hasn't happened since October, but they're able to do it in an unconventional way, right? So Najee Harris catching a touchdown for 10 yards. It's a great play call. And even though it wasn't a rushing TD, it's worth noting, Najee, another fantastic game. First 100-yard rusher allowed by the Ravens this season. So Steelers save the best for last. Bill Hillgrove with the calls on Steelers radio. And then there's that defense we talk about and the fact that they were able to slam the door.
The ball at the 38, 20 seconds to go. Second and 10 for Baltimore. Huntley, empty set, four-man rush. He dances out of there. He runs to his right, throws it down the field. Intercepted! Minkah Fitzpatrick, number six on the year, and the Steelers seal the deal in Baltimore.
Minkah Fitzpatrick, six picks this season. He's so good. Remember when Mike Tomlin traded for him, gave up a first-round draft pick to the Dolphins to get Minkah right after Ben Roethlisberger got hurt and was out for the season? And people thought that was the dumbest move ever. Oh, okay. So the Steelers are still alive. In a year in which they're trying to move on from Roethlisberger, he's busy with his podcast. Can't wait to hear what he has to say about the Steelers still being alive in week 18. Kenny Pickett is growing up on the job. And even if they don't make the playoffs this year, and I'm not talking silver linings, I'm not talking about moral victories, I'm talking about building blocks and stepping stones for the future. They found their guy. And they've got some good pieces around him. And it is a bonus that the playoffs are still there for the taking just in case other AFC teams stumble.
Man, really proud of those guys in that locker room. Another challenging week, hostile environment, primetime television on the road. You know, those guys didn't blink. We obviously fell short of perfection, man, in a lot of areas, the penalties and things. But it's an emotional game. It's an emotional environment. I thought we really kind of got a hold of ourselves at the half.
198 rushing yards. So the Steelers stole a page out of the Ravens playbook. That's what the Ravens want to do. And it's a little bit more challenging against the Steelers defense, but also when you don't have Lamar Jackson, but nearly 200 rushing yards. And so the Steelers were able to run the ball and stop the run, run the ball, stop the run. And when they needed to get into the end zone, they did. They're only 1-for-3 in the red zone, but they rally for the win in Baltimore. And now with this confidence boost, again, they need some help to get into the playoffs. I like the direction that they're going. And they still have the opportunity to finish above 500, right? So they are sitting there at 8-8. If they run the table in the final month, is it 19 straight years that the Steelers will have gone without a losing season? Mike Tomlin. Okay, don't quote me on that. I don't know if that's the right number. But they will not have had a losing season under Mike Tomlin, which is critical. Because every single week, I swear, I see social media posts calling for Tomlin to get fired. I mean, I'll take him as my head coach right now. The Broncos actually are in need of a head coach. So if the Steelers are willing to let Mike Tomlin go, hello, please come to Denver.
Man, I'm just appreciative.
So, okay, I'll confirm that number. But yes, we'll hear from the rookie quarterback, Kenny Pickett. Tomlin on Kenny Pickett. And then Tyler Huntley, John Harbaugh. The Ravens are already in the playoffs, but this is not how they want to play right when they need to be putting their best foot forward. There's a lot to get to. Week 17. Not quite in the books, though. Whoo, we got a doozy on Monday night as well. Coming up top of the hour, inside the tumultuous week for the Vegas Raiders that culminates with their elimination from the playoffs. It's after.
With classes in crisis communication, influence, and data presentation, Gonzaga University's online Master's in Communication and Leadership equips you with the tools you need to communicate clearly and encourage creativity in any industry. Concentrations in digital media, strategic communication, and global leadership allow you to customize your degree. Visit gonzaga.edu/communication and learn why a master's degree from Gonzaga can help you take your career to the next level. That's gonzaga.edu/communication.
Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I
Tyler Huntley takes the snap in the shotgun. Drifts to his right. Throws down the middle. It's intercepted. Oh. He threw it right to Minka Fitzpatrick, and that's going to do it. The first turnover of the game is the end of the game. And the Pittsburgh Steelers will leave with a 16-13 win. The Steelers will keep their long-distance playoff hopes alive. And now the Ravens will need the help of the Buffalo Bills tomorrow night to keep alive their hopes of a division title with a win next week in Cincinnati.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Jerry Sandusky on Ravens Radio, and they've already got a playoff spot, so there's the upside, there's the positive. But they're not the same team without Lamar, stated Captain Obvious. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. And I have seen that so many of you want to weigh in about the new year and the 10-year anniversary, and that's awesome. Thank you so much for all your kind words. It was kind of a busy last, 36 hours or so between the doubleheader with college football on Saturday night and then, of course, the NFL taking over on Sunday. So a lot of family, friends, text, Happy New Year. What did you do for your New Year's Eve? Well, Penny was snoring by 10 o'clock. She was out. If you haven't seen the photo, it's up on Twitter. She was so funny. Her head was smushed into the couch. She was snoring away. At times, she was running a marathon. Her feet were going. And so I was sitting there in the shadow of the Christmas tree and my Christmas lights and watching college football. And oh, gosh, you're going to laugh at this. While I was watching college football, I was doing a sexual harassment training module for the company, which had to be done by the end of the year. I know. You got to do it sometime, right? So I was watching college football in my sweatpants with my slippers and answering a few texts here or there, but for the most part, just enjoying my comfy chair and being home since there wasn't a lot of that over the course of the last 2 weeks. So yes, my New Year's Eve was football. My New Year's Day was also football. And I don't know that I would have it any other way, at least not right now. So yeah, check out Penny. I'll see if I can put her up on Facebook as well at some point. Steelers are still alive. One of the things that jumped out at me was the way that they controlled the ball in this one. And I mentioned they had nearly 200 rushing yards. That equaled 9.5 extra minutes with the football for Pittsburgh. This is something that the Ravens usually do to their opponents, dominate the ball and run the ball.
They had put an extra D lineman in the game. Crashing off the edges. We should have done a better job of attacking that for sure. We let them do what they want. It wasn't good. They flipped the script, and that's not what we expect. We don't expect that at all. They got the job done, ran the ball very well against us.
Najee Harris, the main culprit, with a 111 rushing yard. So first 100-yard rushing game against the Ravens this season.
Just like last game with the Raiders, it's just discipline. It comes out of discipline. Everybody execute their plans. You know, catch the ball, get vertical, and obviously there's nothing they could do that will stop us. It's just stuff that we got to do to execute, and that's what we did today and last week.
It's the same every time. I mean, it's just everyone's got to do their job, and, you know, I got to find a way to get the guys the ball and get in the end zone. So, you know, it's a team effort, group effort. You know, Stevie really did a huge job bending in there on that seam, biggest play of the drive besides the touchdown. You never know when your number's going to be called, and Stevie stepped up tonight, huge for us.
So referring to the big catch and run by Steven Sims, there was also the Pat Freiermuth catch, and that's how the Steelers were able to flip the field on that last drive and ultimately getting the Najee Harris touchdown catch. Mike Tomlin really likes what he sees from his rookie quarterback. Again, I'm not even sure he fits the bill as a rookie anymore. He has taken over this position for Pittsburgh.
Had the type of focus that was needed to finish the game out, and for that I'm thankful. Can't say enough about our young cube. He smiles in the face of it. He's always ready to be that guy in the moments that we need him to be that guy. And it's just good to see a young guy.
Our young cube.
Can't say enough about our young cube.
Oh, Mike Tomlin. By the way, just to make sure I give you the right number, if the Steelers end up at, well, they can't, I guess they could, there could be a tie in there, but if they end up with a victory next week, that would be 16 consecutive seasons without a losing record under Mike Tomlin. Now, most of those would have been Roethlisberger, but look, the man can coach even without Big Ben. As for the Ravens, they are no longer in a great position to be able to win the AFC North. The Bengals have got the nose way out in front there, but they are in the playoffs, and so they do have something to look forward to, Chuck Clark.
I don't think it's difficult because, I mean, we still got everything in front of us. Like, depending on how tomorrow go, you know what I'm saying, we still got a chance to play for the AFC North. And then we're still in the playoffs at the end of the day, you know. So we still got all our goals in front of us. I mean, we still getting in the playoffs and got a chance to go get a bowl. So we just got to take it one game at a time.
One game at a time, but one day at a time when it comes to Lamar Jackson and how much they want him back and need him back. How quickly can he shake the rust off? He's a world-class athlete, obviously, in the prime of his career. You can see, though, that they're a different team, a different offense. It doesn't run as well. The offense they built around Lamar Jackson doesn't run as well without Lamar Jackson. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Top of the hour, we're going to head to Las Vegas, where the Raiders have moved on from Derek Carr, and they give Jarrett Stidham his first career start. He ends up sparking the Raiders to 17 points in the first half against the visiting 49ers, who were looking to extend the NFL's longest win streak. Stidham looked ready. 11 of 14, 145 yards, two touchdowns initially. Boy, Davante Adams, he helps a lot. But this ultimately turned into a back and forth between the Niners and the Raiders. One of the more lively, competitive, entertaining games of Sunday.
Two on the play clock. They get the snap. They only bring four. Stidham in the pocket. Gets out of there. Eyes downfield. Flag flies. He's drilled as he throws. Open Adams at the 35. Racing to the 20. 10. Touchdown Raiders. Stidham was drilled as he threw it and found a wide open Davante Adams. For if it stands, a 60-yard touchdown.
Purdy under center, Juszczyk in motion into a true eye. Two-point stance ahead of McCaffrey. They give it to him off the right side. McCaffrey gets wide, a block from Juszczyk. McCaffrey's in the end zone. Touchdown! CMC!
With a dynamite bounce on the touchdown.
The back-and-forth radio calls from Josh, I think it's Jason Horowitz, on Raiders radio, and then Greg Papa on Niners radio. Yeah, there was so much to unpack in this game. And as I say, we will do so from the Raiders perspective after the top of the hour. A lot of Davante Adams, though, and he had a touchdown. His initial touchdown, which was his 13th of the season, gave the Raiders the lead at the break. It came with toe taps. It was dazzling. And there was more of Davante again early in the third quarter, 60 yards after Stidham was able to use his legs to scramble and keep the play alive. So the Raiders do go up 10 in this game, but then the Niners start to come back, and they can be methodical. They can be so efficient around Brock Purdy, their rookie quarterback. They've got a bunch of weapons, veterans like Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey and Greg Kittle. They're able to put together a 5-minute drive, which I really felt like steadied them in the third quarter. It was a lot of Christian McCaffrey. You want sure hands. You want explosiveness. You want a guy who can make plays even when it looks as though the holes are closing up. Well, Christian McCaffrey over and over again. And so this is what I liked about seeing the Niners, because they're the team that is the NFC West champs, and they're the team that is looking to get back to the NFC championship. This was a game in which they got knocked back a couple of times. This was a game in which they had to respond. They were trailing by double figures, and I like the veteran presence. Really, it's important around Brock Purdy. Now, they get into the fourth quarter. Jarrett Stidham throws an interception. San Francisco is able to tie the game on a field goal. And then we get kind of this fun back and forth with both teams scoring touchdowns in the final 2.5 minutes of regulation. So there were plenty of heart palpitations there in the late stages. Stidham maybe making his first career start, but you can tell that he's learned well. You want to know what to do? You throw it to the best receiver on the field.
Shotgun snap. He's got time. Fires down the near sideline. Davante Adams makes an adjustment and holds it in at the 20. Unbelievable grab by Davante. He got around Lenore and somehow brought it in on his right shoulder while he was falling to the turf. Two tight ends in and a fullback. Snap, handoff, Jacobs trying the middle. He walks in. Touchdown Raiders. Josh Jacobs with his 12th rushing touchdown of the season. And the Raiders are an extra point away from tying this game with 1:11 on the clock.
On Raiders radio again, Jason Horowitz, they do. They force overtime. Early in the overtime, though, and I should mention this, too. It's really funny, actually, because my mom knows very little about football, and yet she sends me a text after this game. Robbie Gould missed what would have been the game-winning field goal at the end of regulation. They go into overtime. Stidham throws his second interception on his first pass, the first possession of overtime, I should say. And right away, the Niners are in the red zone. All they have to do is kneel down on the hash, and Gould gets some redemption with 23 yards. My mom sends me a text about how she's happy for Robbie Gould. I had no idea my mom even knew who Robbie Gould was, so I was really impressed with that. She also said, oh, and I know who the rookie quarterback Brock Purdy is, too. Yes, well, they haven't lost with Brock Purdy as their rookie QB, but what about the Raiders? That's next here after hours, CBS Sports Radio.
If you are leading change, building a team, or implementing new procedures, Gonzaga University's online Master's in Organizational Leadership gives you the tools for success. With concentrations in change, global, and servant leadership, you'll get the most relevant training and education to help you tackle any challenge. Visit gonzaga.edu/leader and find out how Gonzaga's Organizational Leadership degree can affect positive change in your life and career. That's gonzaga.edu/leader.